Good? Fathers and anybody that's planning to be a prospective father, we have a little gift for you this morning. It's one of these little plug-in-your-car chargers. And it's got Eagle Heights on it. And I have a thought about this. You have to have this because if you were to plug your cell phone into your car battery, you wouldn't have a cell phone anymore. Those 12-volt batteries would overpower your what's needed in the terms of milliamps for your cell phone. So, Dad, if I could be an encouragement to you, I want to remind you that we need to be plugged into the ultimate source, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the 12 volts, and that's an understatement. But I guarantee you one thing, we are the milliamps. And we need all that he can do for us. So I hope that you'll pick one of these up. They're in that basket back there. In fact, I was thinking, if you turn to Genesis 22, Genesis chapter 22 this morning, I don't think that I could come up with a better example of a father who dedicated their child than Abraham. In fact, for you that have been around here for a while, you know that many times at this dedication time of children, we use the story in 1 Samuel about Hannah and Samuel and giving him to Eli and some of those kinds of things. Even we've used Joseph and Mary in the New Testament giving the baby Jesus over in the temple. Simeon was there. And we looked at those kinds of things. So this year, the Lord directed my attention, I really believe, to Genesis 22. Because maybe for the first time in the history that I can remember here, that we're not just going to dedicate babies this morning. We have two dear children that are 8 and 5. Do I have that right, Brittany? 8 and 5 years old. And you say, well, why did mother wait till 8 and 5? Because mother just got saved a few months ago. That's why. Touches my heart. Touches my heart. In fact, I don't think there is a more significant child dedication anywhere in Scripture. So if you're in Genesis chapter 22, I'd like you to stand with me. If you don't have a Bible, hopefully you can look on with someone that has one. But let's read the first, let's try the first 13 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. I love that response. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went forth of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. That's why we know Isaac was not a baby here. He's speaking very clearly, and he's understanding, cognizant of what's going on. So he says to his father, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? For a burnt offering. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself. Joe, could you finish reading from there down to 13? Thank you very much. Father, we come to you this morning with very grateful hearts for your being our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for Abraham. Help us to learn this morning four significant things that Abraham demonstrated in this experience that he really had there on that mountain. And Lord, help us to apply it that we might see the truth and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Did you notice in verse 1 it says that God did, what's the next word? Tempt Abraham. Tempt. And we have to be careful. Because as we think in terms of that word in our lives and in our day and time, we could misunderstand that. But if we take all of the Word of God, we know from the book of James what? Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God, for God tempteth what? No man. But we're always tempted of our own lust and enticed. That's what the Scripture says. So the word tempt here is not God was trying to get Abraham to sin. In this context and this meaning, God was testing Abraham's faith and trust in God Almighty. And I guarantee you something today, all of us, not just fathers, but all of us, God is going to be testing every single one of us. And I think there are four things here that I could see, maybe more, but four things that were a test for Abraham. And I want you to know from the start, the great news is, and you read it here, he passed the test. And that's what God wants from us. So the first thing I want you to see, there are just four points here that you might want to write down and take note of. And this does relate to more than just fathers here today. First of all, this dedication here that Abraham was called upon was a test confirming his love for God. It was a test that was confirming his love for God. In fact, I think you would have to say with me, I've thought about this all week, what would I do? And I couldn't help but think, well, I've got three sons, so if one got sacrificed, at least I'd have two to hug and enjoy more than I did before. But you know what? That's not true with Abraham. The Scripture's clear. Only child. In fact, you know what kind of child he was? He was a miracle child. Absolutely a miracle child. And he didn't get up to the mountain and then find out what he was supposed to do. God told him before he moved one step, this is what you're going to do. You're going to sacrifice your son. And it's a reminder to us about this question. Do we love God more than we love anything else on the planet. Now, this is not a picture of don't love your child. That's not what God's saying in any way, shape, or form. But God is saying, who is your first love? And that is a significant test for every single one of us. In fact, I wrote this down. We might be thinking this is an unfair test. I could think that, couldn't you? This doesn't seem fair. Abraham, take Isaac up to the mount, and he be the sacrificial lamb, your only son. But I am reminded that we don't serve a God of death. We serve a God that gives life, and not just physical life, but eternal life. God never had planned to kill Isaac. God had planned to prove Abraham's love. And it is such a significant thing for you and I to think this morning. Every one of us, men and ladies alike, teenagers, younger children that are here, what kind of love do we have for God? What kind of love do we have for God? How do we show that love? Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. It's an action. It's something that you and I do. It's something that we should talk about. It's something that we should act upon on a daily basis. But as I was thinking about you parents here that are bringing your children today to be dedicated, it is the kind of love that says, God, I'll obey your word about child rearing. I'll obey your word about child rearing. I guarantee you, this book goes contrary to the world's philosophy. This is not a Montessori textbook. This is a book about training children, disciplining children, changing my life as an adult to be more Christ-like so my children see Jesus Christ in me. You say, well, that's pretty radical. Well, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It goes on to say that it's what you lose that you can keep. And what you try to keep and hold on to yourself, you are going to lose, because that is not God's plan in any way. So the first thing I see about Abraham in this story as a father is that he was dedicated to confirming his love for God. When he raised that knife and Isaac was laying there, you know what God knew? God is first. God is first. And that is exactly what God is asking us today. You know, you may be here, and this has nothing to do with a child dedication to you, but do you realize that there could be things in your life that you're withholding from that altar because you're not willing to sacrifice them and put God above those things? And maybe the ultimate example is maybe you need to put yourself on that altar today. As Romans says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it becomes a real test of love. And you know what Abraham did? He passed the test in a marvelous way, wouldn't you say? Wow, he proved his love for God, and God saw that. But secondly, not only did Abraham confirm, did the test that Abraham go through confirm his love, but secondly, I noted this, it clarified rightful ownership. Rightful ownership. Could I remind you that God is the giver of life? James says it this way, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is what? No variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you have children today, God gifted them to you. God gifted them to you. In fact, Abraham obviously understood exactly who Isaac belonged to. He didn't hesitate. He didn't argue. He didn't complain. He simply said, "Lord, here I am." And he took that boy and he marched smartly up that mountain and did exactly what God told him to do. Psalm 127 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." You know, when you think about the most precious gift that any of us could get or have, and that being children, it is again a reminder that we are to do the utmost to treat our children the way God would have us treat them. I don't know about you, but I am horrified, absolutely horrified, by the stories every week of the way adults are treating children, not in some third world communistic country, but in the United States of America. And when you think about the abortions, these baby bottles up here, if you're visiting with us, these baby bottles have been collected by our church family, and we've asked families to put coins, dollar bills, checks, whatever the Lord directs you to do, in there, because we have just a few blocks away a place called the Rachel House. And the Rachel House is a Christian home, a Christian place, to help ladies choose life, not death. And it's also a place that every lady that comes in gets the privilege to hear that Jesus saves. There is a Savior, there's a Father. They may have had terrible experiences as young ladies, you never know, but God is so good. So as we think about what Abraham has done, he not only confirmed, "I love God supremely," but secondly, he clarified, "I know that this child doesn't belong to me." Now, all you got to do to understand that is become an empty nester. And you realize that you can train them up and you can nurture and direct them, but they get to that point, that age of accountability, where they have to make decisions as adults on their own, and they have to choose if they're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, all those sort of things. So it becomes very, very important for us not to think of ownership, but I like this word, think of stewardship. What are we doing to take that gift that God has given and do everything we can for that child to become a champion for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there's another thing that I see in Abraham here, and that is he didn't just confirm his love and clarify his ownership, but he was committed to raise God's child God's way. It's always interesting to me when we have a dedication service, how the ones being dedicated know the least about what's going on. Would you agree? Not because they can't know, but I mean, just they can't. They're just not usually old enough to understand. So what's this dedication about? It's about you parents. It's about your commitment. What it is you're going to do with the gift that God has given you. I want to remind you what Ephesians chapter 6 says. It says, and it goes directly to fathers, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This dedication time today is really a time for you parents that have asked to participate in this dedication. It is a call to commitment. And commitment is a difficult word. Would you agree? I don't know about you, but that word conjures up work, right? And responsibility and sacrifice and a number of other things that you're probably thinking of. But that is exactly what this dedication is all about. When Abraham took Isaac up to that mount, I don't know that I could think of a greater commitment that anybody made in Bible other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you agree? This is significant here. That's why I'm not trying to discount Hannah, and I'm certainly not trying to discount Joseph and Mary, but this is quite a dedication service that Abraham is a part of. And it is a reminder to us that we need godly parents. We need godly parents. And you say, well, what constitutes a godly parent? Well, I wrote down a couple thoughts here. First of all, a godly parent is a parent that he or she himself are right with God. I encourage you this morning, if you're here and God prompts you through His Spirit about something that you know has not been godly in your home, I encourage you before this service is over to get that right. You say, well, how do I get something right that I've done wrong? Aren't you glad God has told us? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it involves going to that person that maybe we've acted ungodly toward and acknowledging and asking forgiveness ourselves. So that's one of the first things that I see about our commitment. But I also would tell you that I think that another key aspect is that we teach this child, teach your child, everything that you can from the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we ought to be constantly reminded that when the disciples said, hey, kids, you're bothering Jesus. Just get away. Give us some space. What did Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I didn't get one of these for each of you this year, but if you've never read the book, Sacred Parenting, I encourage you to get the book. It's by Gary Thomas. We have it in our bookstore. And it's not a book about how-to parenting. It's a book about how much your children can teach you about yourself. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever corrected your child for something, and at the end of your correction, you realized, I just acted that same way toward my spouse earlier today. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? So there's a few here that can relate to what I'm talking about. I really encourage you to all get the book because it really is a masterfully written book about the importance of children. In fact, I love one of the quotes he has in there. I believe it goes like this. If you want to have more time to serve Jesus, don't have children. If you want to be more like Jesus, have children. Think about that for a minute. That is exactly the truth. It's amazing what our flesh and blood can reveal about who we are and what we're like. So here we are thinking about Abraham making this dedication on this mountain. And he confirmed his love. He clarified his ownership. But he also showed tremendous, tremendous commitment. Tremendous commitment. I'll tell you what. Isaac went away from that mountaintop experience a changed boy. Would you agree? A changed boy. You talk about a life-altering experience. That's exactly what he had. And you know what? I don't think he walked away and said, Dad, I can't believe you'd kill me. I think he walked away saying, what an awesome God you serve, Dad. Don't you think? Don't you think that's exactly what was happening? That doesn't tell us all that. But Isaac was tremendously blessed. I want to remind you of a few other things about being a godly parent. Would you keep your child in church? And I use the word keep your child in church, implying that you're there with them. And I thank you for your commitment to be in church and to keep you and yourself in church. I want to encourage you to love your child. Love your child unconditionally. And love is not giving them what they want. It's what? Giving them what they need. Giving them what they need. And many times, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, we see that sometimes we need chastening, don't we? We need the rod of correction, because the rod and reproof give wisdom. Could I encourage you to pray for your child? And I want to say something to our congregation here this morning. We are not here to just cheer on these parents that are dedicating these children this morning. We are here to go forth from this place praying for these families, encouraging them, but praying diligently for them. How significant that is. Parents, train them up. That word train in Scripture isn't just talk. It's example. It's showing them what it is that a Christ-like example looks like. I wrote down this. Have a marriage that is filled with love. Filled with love. Humility. Sacrifice. Keep your home holy. Make Scripture evident everywhere in your home. One thing I can tell you, I'm crying right now because I couldn't help but remember 1205 East 23rd Avenue, Moline, Illinois. I had a mom and dad that loved the Lord Jesus. And we ate together all the time. And one of the things was at the center of the table, the little box. You know what was in the box? Little cards. You know what was on the cards? Bible verses. Every day, we'd pick a card out and we'd read that verse. You say, that's pretty old-fashioned. Well, let your phone do your work then. But my point is, it's not how you get it, it's that you do get it. Because God's word never returns void. And we need to be saturated with the word of God. We need our homes saturated with Scripture. We need our homes filled with a mom and dad that are practicing what the Bible teaches and what the Bible wants us to do. Well, there's so much that could be said about not only Abraham's confirming his love for God and clarifying who really owns our children, and also the commitment. Wow, what a commitment. But I remind you that lastly, the test that Abraham went through checks and verifies that you will claim God's best. Remember what happened to Isaac? Remember how God blessed him? Wonder what would have happened if they would have never taken a trip to the mountain. I don't know how old Isaac was. Nowhere does it tell us in Scripture. But I can tell you this. Isaac never forgot what happened on that mountain and what God provided. We must never forget what God has provided. God has provided His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to stop here for a minute and say this. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you may have heard His name, we're not talking about knowing a name. We're talking about having a relationship. We're talking about receiving Him by faith, acknowledging that there's no other way to go to heaven but through Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the Bible says. I pray that today you would turn your heart over to Him. You would trust Him. I tell you, because Abraham did what he did. Isaac received the greatest blessings imaginable. And for you and I today, we should be extremely grateful for the example of Abraham and his walk with God. John and Anna are back here. Or I don't see Anna right now, but she was there around there. And we have Jason and Greta. Did I see where they are? Are Jason and Greta here? They're right back there. Okay. And we have Leah. I talked to Leah. There's Leah right there. And we have Brittany right down here. And here's what I want to do as we wrap up our time and go into our dedication. I want to ask you all this question. Will you this day, with Abraham, confirm your supreme love for Jesus Christ above everything, every other love? That's a big question. And that's really a question all of us need to answer. Will you clarify, and obviously you've thought about this or you wouldn't even be here, would you clarify that the child that you're going to dedicate today is not your own, but it is a gift from God to be stewarded, trained, helped to be all that they can be? Will you commit yourself? For all of you, you are in the early stages of child rearing. And those are key years. Even the world will tell you that those first years are crucial in how your child will turn out. I pray that you will be committed in every way to not just give them the American dream, but you'd give them the spiritual dream, eternal life. And lastly, will you today claim by your action that you want the best for your child? And I remind you that there are many a child that have gone through the home, been raised up, become adults, and one day, you know what happened? They waved goodbye to mom and dad because God called them to a mission field far, far away. That's the kind of commitment we're talking about here. We're not talking about a hold on. We're talking about a leaving and cleaving, which is what Scripture calls us to do. You know, I think we could conclude with one statement. I wrote this down. With God, what you lay on the altar will be preserved by God with His blessing. And by preserved, I don't mean for necessarily a long life. None of us know that. But when we see Abraham in heaven, you know what he's going to be shouting? Lay him on the altar. Lay it all on the altar. Hold nothing back from the altar. That's exactly what he's going to say. We look at this and we say, we've probably read it 100 times. And you know what? I'm afraid. We look at it and say, oh, no big deal. I know that Bible story. Hey, this really happened. Hey, he really went up on a mountain. Hey, he really laid that boy named Isaac, his only son, on that altar. He had a real knife. It wasn't some plastic thing. There was wood for the fire. Burnt offering is what God called for. But I guarantee you what you lay on the altar, God will bless. God will bless. And the problem today is that we have trouble believing that. But I remind you that it is the absolute truth. If the Lord Jesus wouldn't have laid down his life for us, wouldn't have sacrificed himself, we would have no business being here today. We'd have no eternal life, no salvation, nothing beyond this world. And that's why this time of dedication is vitally important. So I'm going to ask right now for the parents, if you don't already, if you would get your children and you would come toward the front up here, that'd be helpful. And I'd like to ask all of the rest of us if we could bow our head and close our eyes for just a few reflective thoughts here, a time of decision.